1:18.
We'll begin with the 16th verse. And they answered Joshua, saying, "All that thou commandest us, we will do." That'll encourage a leader when people says, "All that you ask us to do, we'll do." Joshua's facing a humbling, momentous task. God had to tell him to be of a good courage. Amen. And now the people are encouraging Joshua. And here's what they said. "All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go." Joshua here, incidentally, is a type of Christ. They have the same name in Hebrew. Jesus and Joshua is the same name. Translated in Hebrew here, it's Joshua, but you get over to the New Testament, it's Jesus. That's why Stephen calls Joshua Jesus in his testimony in Acts chapter 7. Amen. Jesus led him, called Joshua Jesus. And so Joshua's a type of Christ. He was representing Christ to the people. And if I may say so without getting too far out on a limb, every God called, God sent, anointed man of God, amen, has the same responsibility. Amen. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Listen to verse 18. "Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death." This people saying that to Joshua. People encouraging their leader. People encouraging, amen, the shepherd of that flock. And they said, this is the people now, "Only be strong and of a good courage." Amen. And I felt like preaching along the line, rebellion equals death. It always has, and it always will. Rebellion equals death. For people to rebel against Joshua would have been rebellion against God. Amen. And they said, "Whosoever will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death." That's the path of death. Amen. The path of death is rebellion. The path of death is not hearkening unto the words. The path of death is not doing all that God has commanded us to do. Amen. It's the path of death. You see, God is the one that executes the death sentence in the last analysis. Amen. It was God that said in the New Testament, "For this cause the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience." Amen. And that's the path of destruction. The path of destruction, Acts 3 and 23. Let's turn over there and read just a little bit in Acts 3. Peter's preaching. The man at the beautiful gate had just been healed. And they've got something going. People's coming together. And Peter tells them to repent, that their sin may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. and so on. Verse 22, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. There's where the trouble comes. When God raises up a prophet of your brethren, it's sometimes difficult to respect him as God's man. Amen. A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Amen. And you know that's all the Bible. You know that prophet is Jesus, and he's the Word. Hallelujah. You can't separate them. He is the Word. Praise God. You can't pick at God's Word and say, I don't like that. I don't like that. Like kids sitting down at the table, spoiled kid. I don't like old carrots. Amen. Went to Stell Knight and Uncle Lawrence one night, and Beesel didn't have much to cook for breakfast, and us three kids were staying all night with Uncle Lawrence, and got up the next morning to eat breakfast. All Beesel had to fix was biscuits and gravy, and my sister Joyce said, I don't like old gravy. And sometimes kids can be so unthoughtful and openly honest. Amen. A preacher came to our house one day, and her little girl was sat at the table, and my wife was trying to serve them and help them, be a blessing to them, you know. And she got out some stuff for the little girl, and she said, I don't like that. And she looked up at my wife and said, my mommy cooks better than you. And little kids, you know, can be very cutting sometimes, you know. Amen. And it shall come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Amen. You all know the reason for the destruction of Jerusalem? You all know the reason for the slaughter of 3 million Jews in Jerusalem alone? You all know the reason for Masada? You all know the reason of the desolation of Jerusalem and the scattering of the remnant throughout the world, to be hated and to be scoffed and mocked? You all know the real reason behind Hitler's Holocaust? Amen. Right here it is. They wouldn't listen to that prophet that God raised up of their brethren. Amen. They wouldn't listen to him. They wouldn't have him. They still won't. And did you know they're still being destroyed, still being hated, still being despised, and great destruction still waits for the Jewish nation, and not until the rapture of the church and God deals with them with such judgment as you have never known, can hardly realize, will they then, in a residue at least, a remnant of them, call on the name of the Lord? The path of destruction, Israel took it. Amen. But don't boast yourself against the branches. Don't boast yourself against the vine. Amen. Did you know that the Protestant movement today is taking the same path that the Jewish nation took? They're rejecting the words of Jesus. They're rejecting the Word of God. Amen. How do you reject the Word of God? Well, you reject God's men that preach it. Amen. You can't separate them. God has chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save men. God said, how shall they hear without a preacher? God said, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them which publish the glad tidings of peace. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. Amen. And so when Elijah saw Elijah go away, amen, he said, if you see me go away, you'll get that double portion you long for. Amen. And so he won't leave him. Nothing can shake him. He stays right on his heels. Praise God. And he won't listen to the sons of the prophets. He won't listen to nobody. Stay right. He won't even listen to Elijah. He tries to decoy him off, you know. Amen. But he said, no, I will not leave thee. Praise God. And so they cross over Jordan and get over there, and a chariot of fire and a whirlwind comes after Elijah. Praise God. And Elisha cries, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. He always realized the importance of the man of God. That's why he sold out completely. Amen. And followed him. Offered his oxen on an altar, a fire built out of his broken plow. Amen. And followed Elijah to pour water on his hands and serve the man of God. Amen. Ah, glory to God. How much future have you got? What do you think of the men of God? How much future do you have? What is your destiny? As far as success or failure is concerned, let me ask you, what do you think of the men of God? Has a long line of failures that have been so exploded out of proportions and blown clear across the world shaken your confidence in the man of God? The devil would like for it to. Amen. Praise God. But he saw something coming down. You know what he saw coming down? It was Elijah's mantle. Amen. And he grabbed up that mantle and walked back to old Jordan and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And God made an aisle just like this one right across Jordan. And Elijah walked across just like you walk between these seats here. Praise God, walking down the aisle. He found out where he was. But he had something. He had Elijah's mantle. Amen. That was a familiar thing. Praise God. That Elijah had a mantle, the mantle of Elijah. Amen. The high priest of the Old Testament had an ephod and the Urim and the Thummim in his left pocket near his heart. Praise God. And that's how they found the will of God when they inquired of the priest. Somebody said that there were two stones. One of them was yes and one of them was no. I don't know. That's pretty good. Amen. Sometimes it worked like that. Amen. But that's how they got direction from God. They went to the man of God, the priest who wore the ephod. Amen. The Catholic, when that priest puts on that scarf, I'm sorry, I don't know, I didn't take time to study to find out what that was that the Catholic priest puts around his neck. I don't know what to call it. If you're a Catholic, you could probably, if you're a former Catholic, you'd probably tell me what it is. Amen. What is it? Anybody remember? Amen. But anyway, when he puts that around his neck, the Catholics know that he's able to forgive sins. Amen. To give a dying man the last rites. Amen. Forgive his sins. When he gets out on, they think he speaks for God. And so the Catholics, they revere that shawl or whatever it is that priest puts around his neck. Amen. The mantle for Elijah, the ephod for the priest. For the Catholic, it's a prayer shawl of some sort when he speaks for Christ. Amen. But for the man of God, it's the divine anointing of the Holy Ghost that overshadows him. Praise God. And that makes him extraordinary. Not that he's anything. Not that he deserves any worship. No. 1,000 times no. Amen. But that does make him, the Bible uses the term oracle. Oracle of God. Amen. And so 1 Peter 4:11 says, a man speaks, speaking about preaching or teaching, he said, let him speak as the oracle of God. Amen. Oracle of God. Acts chapter 7, He talks about that oracle also. Amen. Acts chapter 7 and beginning with about the 35th verse, Moses, whom they refused, said, "Who made thee a ruler or judge?" See there? They refused Moses originally. Said, "Who made thee a ruler or a judge over us?" Amen. "The same did God send to be a ruler and deliver by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush." You see, Moses didn't come because he called himself or said himself. He came because God called him. He didn't want the job, but God gave to him. He tried to put it off on Aaron, but what's that? Amen. You see, Moses wouldn't have had a lot of trouble he had if he hadn't made Aaron his spokesman and representative. Amen. He wouldn't trust God. He had to have Aaron. Just had to. Who was it made that golden calf for those rebels from Moses up on that mountain? You guessed it. Aaron did. Amen. And who was it that was in the schism there that rose up about Moses between Aaron and Miriam? Remember? Amen. Both of them were prophets. Well, Aaron was a prophet, priest, and Miriam was a prophetess. Amen. So both of them were prophets. Because they were prophets, they said, "Moses is not the only pickle on the dish. Who does he think he is?" Amen. And they refused to hear Moses. Now, oh, brother, they're about to get into it real bad with God. Amen. Because, what a mistake, amen, to make. When we make the mistake that Miriam and Aaron made. Moses, he knocked the old pickle on this. We're prophets too. That's right. But not in the rank and category of Moses. Amen. Oh, glory to God. That's why Miriam was turned into a leper. White as snow, I mean, from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, she was turned into a leper because she spoke against that prophet. Amen. Don't get too familiar with God's prophets. I mean so familiar that you can speak in a non-constructive, critical way. Amen. People sit around and talk about preachers. They said, I like old Brother Bryant Price, and I believe he's a good man. And the lady of the house where we were that night after church, she said, "Oh, no," she said. "Well," I said, "if he goes to heaven, I don't want to go." Amen. You never heard anybody talk like that? I have. A bunch of times. Amen. But you better be careful, amen, how you talk about the oracle of God. What is an oracle? Amen. Oracle is taken from the Greek word logion. Logos is the word, the expression of God in word. Amen. And Jesus was the logos, or the word. In the beginning was the logos. And the logos was God. The same was in the beginning of God. Here, the oracle is logion. Amen. It's taken from the word logos, and it means, by definition, speech purely celestial in which man has no part. Amen. He's just the vessel. He's just the pipeline. He's merely conveying the message. That's what Joshua was. That's what Moses was. Amen. Oh, we better be careful how we take for granted God's men and how we speak about God's men. Amen. We might be writing our own death warrant. Amen. Now, because when a true prophet gets up to preach, amen, he has no friends when he stands behind the sacred desk. Amen. I don't have any friends. I don't have any family. Amen. When I stand behind the sacred desk, I stand alone. responsible to God alone to declare the counsel of God. Now, that'll get you into trouble. That'll get your old hide into trouble, because people won't look behind you and see where the message came from. Amen. They'll look at you and say, you did that because you knew. Amen. You were shooting at me. And somebody talked to you. And I stand behind the pulpit. I have no friends, no favorites, no pets when I stand behind God's sacred desk. Amen. Most of the time, I don't pay much attention to anybody in church. Amen. Most of the time, I hardly know what's going on. Most of the time, amen, I'm hardly conscious of who's in the congregation. And sometimes, it's not till I get home, I think, my God, what did I say? And they was there. Amen. But we speak as oracles of God. We don't have nothing to do with it a big part of the time. Now, folks, you may not know that. Amen. But that is a horrendous, tremendous responsibility. That's enough to set a man to trembling when you realize what a responsibility it is to represent the Lord and speak as an oracle of God. Amen. Jesus, amen, they said, is not this the carpenter's son? But he was more than a carpenter of Nazareth. He was more than Joseph's son. He was more than Mary's boy. He was more than James and Jude's big brother. They said, is not this the carpenter's son? Are not his brothers and sisters here with us? He had at least two brothers, at least two sisters. Amen. And probably three of each. There's a strong chance he may have three of each. Amen. And they, because Jesus was raised up right among them, all they could remember was little Jesus, son of Mary, with his two brothers and sisters, kind of poor. Made a pretty good carpenter. Boy, he could make a yoke that wouldn't gall an ox. Amen. And he would preach later, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Amen. But all they could see was, is not this the carpenter's son? Amen. And they didn't hear him. Jesus told him, said, a prophet is not without honor. Oh, a prophet without honor. Why do prophets sometimes find themselves without honor? One thing is that they are finally taken for granted. We want to be a good mixer. We want to get among our people, shake glad hands, and get in close with them, and laugh with them, and enjoy life with them. But there's a little bit of a danger there. The closer you get in with them, the more common you become, and sometimes the less they respect you. Amen. Paul said, the more I love, the less I be loved. Amen. What made the difference? It's the weakness of human nature. Oh, if we're not careful, we'll make Miriam and Aaron's mistake. Amen. Oh, if we're not careful, we'll make Israel's mistake. Amen. Let's see in 2 Chronicles chapter 36 how they treated their prophets. Amen. 2 Chronicles 36 and amen 15. I'll start. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers. Who were they? They were the prophets. They were the Hananias and Michaels and Jeremiahs and Hoseas and Zephaniahs and on and on and on. Amen. God sent them messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. Why does God send preachers? Because he loves us. And there's a lot of people like them. Can you say amen? I like them. I like a man of God. I love the true men of God, don't you? Hallelujah. I love them. I love them all. Amen. I was driving up the road, going down Arkansas and back, and while driving down there, listened to Brother Moore's tape. I listened to it over and over again. It just brought such a blessing to my soul. I wanted to give it to my brother, but I wanted to listen to it again myself. And I thought, well, he'll never know what he missed. And I'll listen to it some more, and then I'll give it to him. Amen. So I listened to it coming back up the road. Amen. The speech that pleased the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, it blessed my soul. What a lot of stuff he brought out. Praise God. But many times prophets are taken for granted, because they try to help us and they get close to us and close to our needs, close to our situation. Amen. And we laugh with them and we sing with them and we eat with them. And pretty soon, amen, we've lost our newness. Amen. But that don't change our responsibility one iota when it comes to the preached word of God. Just because they're sitting around with us in church all the time, amen, and we've known them through the years and known their faults and failures. Well, all the prophets had faults and failures. All of them had down sittings and uprisings. It wasn't very many but what sung the blues sometimes. Amen. I mean, you won't find very few Daniel and Joseph and amen, and very few more but what got the blues sometimes. But you know what Israel did to their prophets? They mocked the messengers of God. Verse 16. They mocked the messengers of God and despised his words, the words he spoke through those messengers. Amen. And misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. Did you know that's the same shape that a large section of the professed church of Jesus Christ? Let me qualify that a little farther. A large section of our Pentecostal movement. Let me qualify that still farther yet. A large section of our independent holiness churches professedly. Amen. You don't think anything about mocking the messengers of God. Amen. Until it's too late to reach their children anymore. Until all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't cast the devils out of their children. Amen. Why? They killed the confidence of the man of God in the minds of people. You know what them kids are going to do? You take sides against the man of God, they're going to take sides with you. And even when you repent and pray through, they're going to still hate him. Amen. It's happened in the last 20 years around the highway of holiness. Amen. And still happening. I ain't nothing. I don't ask for anything. Amen. I'm not worthy of anything. Amen. But, oh God, the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. Amen. Somehow, in our day, in many of our churches, somehow, we think if we can discredit the man of God by discrediting him, we can ignore his message. That relieves us the responsibility of doing what he says. Amen. Amen. You discredit the man of God, the message remains the same. Amen. You might have thrown your compass overboard. You might have thrown your map overboard. You might have thrown your captain overboard. You might have thrown your shepherd overboard. Amen. And you're going to have to try to reach that desired haven of heaven without him. How shall he hear without a preacher? Amen. What was it like in Israel's history? Amen. In those days, there was no open vision, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. No prophet. Nobody to tell them any different. They'd kill them all. They'd silence all the men of God. Amen. That could strike a balance in their lives and perfect them. Yes, that's why they're here. Amen. For the perfection of the saints. After a while, we reach a place we don't want to get no better. We're in process of drifting away from a lot of fanaticism that we one time considered holding a standard. Instead of getting closer to God, instead of getting more perfect, we get less perfect. And woe be unto the prophet that tries to stop our retrogression. Retrogression is a two-pit, 12-cylinder knee action word, which means going backwards. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Somehow we think we can discredit the man of God. Then we can ignore his message and do what's right in our own eyes. Here's what's happened. We become blinded by our own philosophy and die and go to hell blind. For this cause, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, for this cause God shall give them strong delusion, that they all might believe a lie, that they all might be damned. Why? Because they received not the love of the truth. Amen. You say, well, I don't believe in pastors. I don't believe in pastoral authority. Amen. Well, who do you believe has any authority? Amen. Well, I believe that Jesus has the authority. Well, the Bible said he ascended on high and gave those gifts to men. Amen. Hallelujah. He gave them. Praise God. Amen. When a man of God stands behind this desk with a message from God, amen, and that cloak of God's divine inspiration and anointing hovers down over him, amen, be careful. Because he speaks for God. He speaks as the oracle of God. What a humbling thing. What a fearful thing. Amen. James told us that don't have a church full of teachers. Don't you know, amen, that they shall receive the greater condemnation? Amen. Be not many masters. That's what King James. But what it really means is in everyday language, don't have a church full of prophets that nobody pays any attention to the anointing of God or the authority of the Spirit upon the duly authorized man of God. Amen. Don't you know that those many masters receive a greater condemnation? Boy, amen, it's so horrifying that God said, don't you know, amen, that he's going to give account of his activities, of his teaching before God? Amen. And obey them that have the rule over you. Amen. My God, because he's going to have to give an account. Hallelujah. Hey, I've known some fellows that wasn't just exactly on the up and up, but they still had to preach right. Amen. I've known some fellows that was going backwards instead of forward. Amen. But they'd come out right. They'd been taught right. And they didn't know any other way to preach than to preach right. Amen. And so they told people the right way. They preached one thing and maybe lived something else. It was that way in Jesus' day. Amen. He said, do as they say, and not as they do. For they say and do not. Amen. My amazed at how many times God spoke through those men. Even though they wasn't some of them on the up and up. Even though they wasn't some of them very. I mean, even old Saul, filled with hate, foaming out death for David. Amen. One of God's prophets, if you please. David wouldn't touch Saul. He knew he was God's anointed. Amen. He wouldn't touch him. No. He believed that scripture said, touch my anointed, do my prophets no harm. I will not hold him guiltless that toucheth God's anointed. David wouldn't do it. Even though Saul was trying to kill him, Saul was backslid. The Spirit of God had departed from him. Amen. Did you know what happened? Amen. He got up there where a lot of prophets was prophesying. Amen. And he fell down on the ground. Amen. And began to shout and roll on the ground like a holy roller and prophesy with the prophets. And they said, is Saul among the prophets? Amen. Yeah, he belonged to God. And because he belonged to God, God could do as he pleased with him. Amen. And sometimes God overruled him. Amen. And sometimes that prophet, that man of God, even though you may not think much of the way he's living, amen, even though you may not like his personality, even though you may not like the way he wears his clothes, hallelujah, they had quite a bit to say about Elijah along that line. They had something to say about Elisha along that line. Those kids came out and said, go up, thou bald head. You know where they heard that? They heard that from their mom and dad. They heard that from the old folks sitting around home. Amen. They didn't respect the man of God. Amen. They said, give us a demonstration of that catching away, that chariot of fire. Amen. That whirlwind. Go up, thou bald head. And two she-bears came out and tabbed him. They had 42 funerals because they didn't respect the man of God. Amen. We better be careful. We may be signing our own death warrant. The people said it themselves. Amen. Be of a good courage, Joshua. Amen. If people won't hear you, let him be put to death. And that's what God said. Anybody that won't hear Jesus shall be destroyed from among the people. Amen. Paul said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Let him be an anathema. Amen. And then he said, Maranatha. Hallelujah. If we love the Word of God, the people of God, the men of God, we can rejoice in the hope of Jesus. Come and stand with me as they sing, let's come around the altar. Amen. I didn't intend to preach this long, but I'm just laying a foundation. I don't know where I'll take it, how far it'll go. Amen. What good it'll do. But you pray that God will help us. Amen. In our awesome and horrifying, humbling responsibility to declare the counsels of God and speak as the oracles of God.